And then tailgating. So last week, again, we predicted that it would be a pretty epic tailgate against Oregon, and it was a pretty epic tailgate against Oregon. I woke up at 5 a.m. We arrived there right around 6:30 a.m. at UW. So it was
early.
It was
still dark.
It was still dark for another 2 hours. And we had time to go and watch ESPN's College Game Day for a little while, for about an hour or so. And I thought that was really cool. Did you have any thoughts on watching Game Day?
You know, it was a fun experience. I see why people are so excited about having that opportunity and bringing it to their school. And it definitely just, it was always going to be a big game, Washington and Oregon, but that added a little extra juice to it, I think.
It definitely got the energy up, especially having the energy at 6 a.m., having that much energy around campus and people kind of going about, and it felt really bustling the whole time.
Absolutely. Signs everywhere.
I learned some things that I learned from that is that people really think that they're clever.
They do.
And that when they do think that they're clever, they like to put their clever thoughts onto signs and try to get those clever thoughts onto TV.
They do. Did you learn whether people actually are clever?
People are not clever.
Oh, that's too bad.
It turns out. I also learned that there are a lot of Washington State Cougar fans, and that Washington State Cougar fans are very excited about the prospects of having a flag with their logo on TV.
Well, I'm glad that that all worked out, because I didn't want it to be like all Cougar fans and them to try to take over UW Game Day, but at the same time, the whole like steal the flag out of their hands thing, that's struck me as just wrong. I mean, they've got a tradition that's gone back many, many years.
It was very mild, I felt. There was not a lot of animosity going on there. Really, I mean, during the game, there was a little bit more animosity with Oregon fans, but especially during game day, there was not a lot of animosity having Oregon and Washington and Washington State fans all in that same little area.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people were just so tired that they couldn't be.
It was too early. And that's the thing that you don't note. On the West Coast, it's much earlier going to College Game Day. It's starting at 6 a.m., so you're there when it's dark outside, especially later on in the season.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is at that point, people hadn't really drank as heavily. So that's probably a good thing about starting it that early.
So speaking of starting it that early, we did some heavy drinking very early. Started off the day with a mimosa. I was trying to calculate all the different things that I drank, and I can't remember some of the beers, to be honest. I know that I drank a few beers that I have no idea what they were. But we talk on here often about my advanced palate, and I definitely drank a Bud Light before 7:30 a.m. So that was the earliest I think I've ever drank Bud Light. I was not talking about my advanced palate at that moment.
That's a new record, and you know, still time to break that.
The drinks that we drank, so there was a mimosa, stirred apple cider on the grill. There was some sort of Northwest Seattle hard cider. Did you have any of that?
I did not.
It was legitimately terrible.
Huh.
I have to say, it was one of the worst things I've ever drank.
Stay away from whatever cider that was.
It kind of tasted like a sour beer with a little bit of a dash of apple thrown into it. And then we drank a few different craft brews. You got the Widmer Oktoberfest.
Yes.
And I definitely drank some of that.
And then Lagunitas IPA.
Oh, the Lagunitas IPA.
My favorite IPA.
I think, so I drank four different types of beer, a hard cider, a cider off the grill, oh, five, if you include Bud Light, five different types of beer, cider off the grill, hard cider in the can, and a mimosa, for a total of eight different types of drinks.
What was the number one?
Number one drink was the mimosa, I think. It was the first drink. It was very smooth. It was nice to have at that time. And then I think Rainier was number two. And then Woodmrock, Octo, Lagunitas. I know that hard cider was at the very bottom.
What was the number one food you had is an easier question, I think, to answer.
So we talked about this last week also. I think that there are people who are skeptical about the idea of putting cream cheese on a bratwurst.
We're not just making this up here. We're not just the owners of the presidents. We're the clients here.
It was brilliant. Having the thing that really made it nice, I was thinking the cream cheese out of the little packets that you can squeeze out, but whipped cream cheese, that was especially great. It turned that bratwurst into something magical.
Something magical. What turned my bratwurst into something magical was keeping it in my pocket.
Yeah, you said you had
the first quarter of the game.
You had a pocket dog.
I did.
And I had a Rainier in my pocket in my back pocket for the entire quarter. But the bratwurst, so I said last week that grilled onions, I said caramelized onions, but grilled onions would be a dream condiment.
Your palate recognizes the difference between caramelized onions and grilled onions.
Well, let the palate recognize. So I said that it would be a dream condiment, and we had grilled onions for our barbecue on burgers, but I was so full from eating because we made breakfast sandwiches. We were there that early. And then I had this bratwurst with the cream cheese on it. Also, the eight different types of drinks that I'd had before this.
It may have factored in.
Complicated that situation. Drinking Lagunitas IPA, even one of those, is like eating a bratwurst.
Is it?
It's the equivalent food-wise in your stomach to eating a full burger or a bratwurst. That's a heavy beer.
Needless to say, it was not a great evening digestive-wise.
But I was unable to eat the burger with the onions on it, despite my dreams literally coming true.
Wow.
I should have shoved it in my pocket like you did, but my pocket was full of beer, so I couldn't.
It doesn't travel. The pocket burger doesn't travel as well as the pocket dog.
Especially if you have the combination of guacamole and ketchup and mayonnaise on your burger. My pockets would have gotten very dirty.
That's a recipe for trouble.
But I have to give a shout out. I had a very, very heavy sausage weekend. And I have to give a shout out to the Munchen House in Leavenworth. Went over there for Oktoberfest on Friday during the day before a full weekend of football and more sausages. And the Munchen House in Leavenworth, I had the most delicious bratwurst. Their kind of key sausage is the Big Bob sausage. It's big. It's obviously bigger than the Johnsonville brats that we grill. But no cream cheese to be found there because they're doing it German style, not Seattle style.
Yeah.
They had every single kind of mustard that is known to man, though. They had literally 15 different types of mustard. And then I loaded it up with sauerkraut. They have fresh sauerkraut that they grill or that they cook up right there. I loaded it up with sauerkraut. It was a great sausage. But I have to say that the sausage with the whipped cream cheese on it was still better.
Wow, that's how good the cream cheese is.
And that whipped cream cheese was really good. It was great. And so starting at 5 a.m., which we did, and I mentioned the 8 different types of drinks that I had just that day. 2 more the next day. I have to give a shout out to Chris, who was with us for the weekend. I picked him up to go to the Seahawks game on Sunday morning, and he told me that he was 2 hours away from drinking for a full 24 hours. So he drank throughout the game, before the game, starting at about 5 a.m., through the tailgating, the game, went home. He called and left me a message that he found a 40 in his fridge. And then he drank that and then proceeded to continue drinking all the way until 3 a.m. So he made it 22 straight hours of being drinking.
That's pretty impressive stamina, too, especially then go to attend a second football game the next day.
No effect whatsoever on him the next day. We sat down and started tailgating for the Seahawks game, and he was equally as eager to drink beer as he was the day before. He told me that throughout the weekend he drank out of the 48 total hours. 40 hours of drinking.
I don't think I was awake for 40 hours of the weekend.
That's really what going to a Husky game and a Seahawk game back to back and starting your tailgating at 5 a.m. can do to a person's liver. Is make you drink for 48 straight hours. So it was an impressive streak, and I felt like it needed to be mentioned here. I told him when he picked me up and said that he had almost drank for 24 hours. I was like, I'm going to remember those times to mention this later because you need credit for this.
Yeah.
And he's still walking to this day. And then fantasy football. So we play each other this week. It's a heated rivalry. We're both tied for first place. I'm in first place because I have way more points than you have. But we have the same record at 4-2. And it gets a bit heated between us when we play fantasy football.
Actually, really, it does. It just becomes both of us thinking we're going to lose throughout the game. That's usually how most of our fantasy football matchups work.
I don't know if I think I'm going to lose throughout the game.
All right. I guess that's just me.
That's when you and Nick play each other.
Yeah.
You both think it's a lose fest. Somehow you both lose. But do you care? So you lost $5 to me last week.
I did.
On a bet about Jay Cutler scoring 20 or more fantasy points, which he did.
Barely. By one rushing yard. If he had been one rushing yard fewer.
Would you like to make a friendly wager, a bit of a side bet?
Well, I think we should do something on the podcast besides a monetary wager. I don't know what that would be, but...
I had some sort of embarrassment. Humiliation to happen?
You should have to drink a Coors Light.
That's not that bad. I can drink a Coors Light. I should have to drink a Coors Light?
Yeah, from what I've heard, that's the most horrible thing someone could do to you.
You have to shotgun a beer, then. Because you have vehemently... Okay. If I win at the next home Husky game, which is California, correct? which is Cal on October 26th, at the next home Husky game, you have to shotgun two beers.
Two?
Two beers. And if I win, we drink... Wait. If you win, we drink Coors Light instead of Rainier that day. Really, that's just a punishment for everybody.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Okay, okay. Here we go. Here's the idea.
Hey, we never talked about the fact that we have a logo.
Oh, yeah. We have a logo. If you never win... Wait, I want to flesh this idea out. If you win... I will drink Coors Light, and everybody else will drink Rainier. Does that sound like appropriate enough punishment?
Yeah.
You had to give some thought to that.
Well, are you scared? I want to remember the Cal game.
Oh, you're scared of the shotgunning. Okay, one beer?
All right.
You have to successfully shotgun one beer, though.
That's fair.
You have to get 90% of the liquid down. You have to get 10 ounces down.
Okay.
Is that a deal? That's a deal? And I will have to get my own personal Coors Light to drink.
Yes.
All right, I'm happy that we've got ourselves. That's much better than a monetary bet.
Way better.
I like this idea.